Blog Talk Radio.
The scanners are running and the spotters are out. It's time for another episode of SAC Radio Live.
We counted on America to be passionate.
You're probably wrong. Another officer here. It's the same officer that we've been talking with over the last 2 weeks. We've asked a couple of questions here. These are good ones. We ask about quotas tonight. We also ask about police-involved shootings. Make sure you check that out because it's going to be a good episode. If you want to, call in at the end of the show, and we can talk a little bit about it in after hours. You got to call in before 11:30 p.m., though. The number to dial is 516-453-9475. Again, 516-453-9475. We're also monitoring the studio chat rooms. You can head over there at radio.spot-a-cop.com, and we will go ahead and monitor the show with you. We can answer your questions, talk about what you're hearing, and more. All this tonight on SAC Radio Live. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
We are the Blue Creative Institute Tower, when traversing the universe. We are checking to make sure that the Federation is not out there trying to stop us. Spot a cop on Facebook.
Wake up, Daddy Son.
We got a Black Hawk down. We got a Black Hawk down.
I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Everybody's obviously a little bush from all this humping. Looks like a TKO to me.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'll be here all week. Remember to tip your waitresses.
And that was without even a single drop of rum.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You are listening to Sack Radio Live with Jason Cuban.
All right, let's get right back to it. This is Conversing with a Cop. What you say resonates with me. However, I'm going to play the advocate here and hit you with this one here and see what you think about this. You say, no quotes. Okay. I submit to you that if I work in a business where I have to deliver so many babies a month, and I'm not delivering these babies, well, they're going to replace me. So what we see is, well, officers, if they're not pulling anybody over month after month, well, they're not doing their job. They're going to get replaced. So there's got to be a quota system. So you're telling me there's no quota system? Well, how does this work, and how do you keep a job if you don't pull people over?
I have never, like I said, I'll resort back. I have never worked for a department. I've worked for several that has ever told me, ever said, this is what we require you to do. I can go as far to say I've never worked for a department and said, hey, your summonses for the month was a little low. You need to step them up. Never have I ever worked for a department. I don't know of any departments in our area that say that outside of the Harrisonburg. I'll say Harrisonburg City. I don't know. I can't say I've never really been affiliated with them one way or shape or form. I do know they write a lot of summonses. But outside of them, and I honestly have never heard of them, and I've talked to a lot of their officers. I've never heard. Now, there's some officers. You're going to have officers that write summonses. That's just you're going to have some that write a lot of summonses. They do traffic. That's their job, is to do traffic, is to get out, look for violators, stop them, find them. Maybe hopefully that same person won't do that again. They're going to have that. But it's so easy, and I can see your point, and I can see everyone else. It's so easy to step back because we've been told over the years it's quotas for police officers. It's they go to the 7-Eleven and get free coffee and donuts, and it's just that stigma that people have grown accustomed to throwing out there. Now, I can't speak for 15, 20, 30 years ago. I can't, you know, what the cops and what they did back then.
Naturally.
But I can speak for myself and what I've been through as an officer the last, I've been in law enforcement 16 years, but I'd say for the last 8 years, 9 years, as police officer, that I've not worked for a department that said anything about quotas. Their basic thing is stop traffic. You see offenses, stop traffic. Get your nose in the vehicle. Make sure everything's squared away. There's no drunk driving, that impairment to hurt somebody. The drugs, everything looks clean. Boom, send them on their way. Give them a warning. Now, if we pull you over again, you know, I've done gave you a warning for that one, then that's when your tickets and stuff start coming. But there's no end-of-the-month quota and that quote-unquote stuff you hear all the time. I can assure you from the departments that I have worked for, and like I said, there's been several, that's never been an issue.
I appreciate you answering that because, I mean, I'm asking some aggressive questions here that we didn't, you know, I didn't tell you in advance, and they're just coming to me, and I'm asking them. The next one, Bridgewater, to my knowledge, has never had an officer-involved shooting, right?
Nope, not that I'm aware of.
I don't think so. Harrisonburg has, I think, maybe two in the last 20 years?
I know of a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Broadway, I don't think has had any that I can recall.
I have no idea.
So, in our general area of Rockland County, you can probably count the amount of police-related shootings on one hand, really, or maybe two. I'm not sure what the statistics are in Harrisonburg. I know there was one, what, last year or the year before.
Right.
And then there was the one in the trailer park many years back. But my point being is we don't have a gun violence problem here. Why do you think that we don't have a problem with guns and officers shooting people that we see all over the news?
Because I think here in our community, we have outstanding citizens. We do. I think we have a lot of great citizens, great community. Just in a whole, in the whole area of Rockingham County, I think are really great people. You do have your bad apples, but I think there's enough, there's still enough of civility in people that they know, they might not And these other cities that you do see, again, you see a lot of them, they're growing up without fathers in the homes. They're growing up and they know the only way that they can get what they want and to do what they want is to be bad and to do things. And so they don't have any upbringing. So they don't have any idea of which way. In our area, we have great people. And that's the thing that helps us a lot is we have people that still respect the police. You do have several. You have them. That's always going to be the ones that hate the police and will fight and will run and do those things. But as a general overall consensus, we have great people in our area, and we are blessed in this area to have that. Because I don't have, I can't think of any other place I'd rather live, honestly, than in that area.
Have you ever had to draw your firearm in the line of duty?
Yes, I've done it in twice. I've had to pull it twice. In my entire life, it's not something I want to do, and it's not something that any officer wants to do. But I've had to do it two times that I thought at any moment that it might go that way.
So you haven't ever fantasized about pulling your gun and shooting the suspect?
Absolutely not. That's something that so far. My sidearm, my weapon, is the farthest thing that I want to draw. I mean, I had a gentleman one time was intoxicated, had two blades in his hand, two knives in his hand. Well, having two knives in your hand and taking a stance to look at me like you getting ready to come at me, that's lethal force. I have under every law, I could have pulled my weapon and drew it and told him, put him down. I drew my taser. I got behind my car. I knew that if I could hit him with the taser, I still have the car in between us. I don't want to end his life. He's intoxicated. That's a situation we've all been. We've all made dumb decisions, and I don't want his. I never felt that I had to pull my weapon. Was I justified to do so? Absolutely. Pulled my taser, ordered him on the ground. He immediately snapped to it, dropped him, and got on the ground as he was told.
I think it's important to point out that pulling your firearm and firing are two entirely different things. And I that brings me back to the point that we just don't have very many police-related shootings. Now, you hear about rules of engagement for the military. It can't fire unless fired upon, but it seems like in America, that's not the same rules of engagement for officers, where they'll fire on people before those people fire on them. What makes officers' job more dangerous than that of a military person?
There's no comparison to the military. I can't even compare law enforcement to our military personnel.
So why would we have this difference then between what an officer can do and get away with on the street versus what they're doing over there in war?
Right. Again, I can't speak at all for the military. I know what they do is not a drop in the bucket of what we do. I mean, they sleep at night. Worried about dying. That's something that, and there's no compare. I can't even fathom on what they do. I know on our aspect, we, in general, me as an officer, we don't have to wait for you to shoot me or fire me before I shoot you. That's not because that's just not the way it works. I only know, and what I've been told by several. Chiefs and things of that nature that I work for is whatever decision you make, you're the one that's going to have to answer for what decision you make. We have our policies that says, hey, this is what you have to do. Every department has policies. And as long as you're in that policy, you'll be covered. But once you step out, but just remember, whatever decision you make, that's as far as shooting, pulling your weapon, even accidental, just anything that you do, you are the head. My chief or our captains or our lieutenant, none of those people are going to be answered to that, but you're going to be the one on New Center 3.
Right.
You're going to be the one talking and telling them, you know, hey, I shouldn't have done it, or I'm sorry. You're going to be the one doing it. So that's ultimately you have to be the one to answer to.
You're answered a lot of questions tonight, and I really appreciate it because, like I said, some of these are more aggressive questions. Maybe people will get intimidated when they talk to an officer. They're not going to ask this really on the mic. So I appreciate the fact that you're answering some of these here that I'm asking. But I've gotten off topic. The half of it was about what the public can do in your eyes to help bridge the gap. What can officers do to improve the relationship with the public?
Be more of a people person. as me. One thing I've noticed is if you get out and initiate this contact with people, you see someone out, and I've done this. If you it snowed and you see somebody out doing the driveway, hop out, grab that shovel for a few minutes, talk to them. That goes a long way with people. And instead of just being behind that car in the air conditioner in the heat, riding by waving, how about stop, get out, talk to them. Hey man, how's it going? You know, hey, any problems in the area? Anything we can help you with? You would not believe how far that goes with people. And initiate that contact. Even those ones that are sitting back and you look at them and they're kind of like, you know, and you're just thinking, well, maybe should I talk to him or should I not? Sure, you should. He's a citizen in the community. Go speak to him. If he doesn't want to speak to you and he wants to turn around and walk away, you're out of nothing. Just leave. I mean, it's go on to the next. But be that community police that people want to see. Be seen, not just in that vehicle. Get out, walking about and talk.
I love
talk
that.
To people.
Because, and you know, this is one of my pet peeves. I miss cops walking to people. I missed that interaction. You know, they knew the shop owners. They knew the people, the residents. They knew people walking up and down the street. That small town feel. You're right. I totally agree. Again, turnabout's fair play. What can we, in my opinion, as public, do to help improve relationships? Is, and it goes along with what you just said, approach an officer and engage in that. This thing you're talking about, coffee with a cop, that's a great idea. Any chance you have to open a dialogue, I think, as a citizen, is a chance that you're going to get questions answered. You're going to feel a little better about things. If anything, you're going to build a little bit of a relationship with just that one officer. Right now, we're in such a bad shape in America because half the community supports police officers. The other half thinks that, you know, it's a Nazi regime coming to take, you know, take us to jail. And of course, like you said, there's bad apples in every bunch, but as a general rule, and this goes both sides of the fence, officers and people, or citizens, majority of people want to coexist. You know, we don't want to have this war going on, and we hear, you know, the cops have declared war on unarmed black men. Well, cops say that there's a war on cops going on. I mean, you hear these things, and it becomes kind of, to me, like politics does. It serves to divide, and when you divide, you can't get anything accomplished. I think that we all need to take a step back, and like you said, realize that everybody's human. We're all people. So we need to take that, you know, we as the citizens need to identify that. So again, I think it's opening that dialogue, reaching out. I hear your police dog over here shaking her.
What is it, boy?
Female. Okay. Anyway, so, you know, I think that we need to take that initiative. And a lot of cop haters are people who are too scared to confront with an officer what their concerns are. On Spot a Cop, I love this because there's a couple of you guys hanging out here. Some of you are public about it. Some of you are in secret. But we can come and ask you questions. We can post our concerns. We can post our opinions. And you guys will give us your insight. There's one guy on our gym. I love it to death because he's always fighting with me on that. Love it to death. But he answers these questions. We have one recently on air when a person asked about the police dog getting up and scratching your door, and you would be responsible for that. And so we went through this, and he and I had a mini debate about, you know, what about just smelling it, but can't find it, isn't really there. My point being is that you can approach us about any conversation topic and get an answer. So answering my own question, what we can do. And again, what do we think officers can do? Be more approachable, maybe. I know that it's part of your job to maintain authority and to, I don't want to say be intimidating, but at the same point, we have to admit, intimidation helps with defusing certain types of people. But I guess being more approachable, and it goes with what you said, getting out of the car and walking and talking. You know, I keep hearing one thing, and that's communication. Well, I just have a couple more questions for you, and this is on the Street Beefs show. Street Beefs is a fight club. It's a, well, they, some people call it an underground fight club. It's based out of Harrisonburg, and what they do is they started out taking people who had disagreements on the street and brought them into the yard and gave them gloves and gear. They have rules, and they have a medical crew, and they have the referee, and then they they duke it out and settle it the old-fashioned way, as opposed to jumping each other or shooting each other on the streets. As a result, according to HPD, there's been a noticeable reduction in violent street crime amongst our youth. Now it's grown up a little bit, and now they have sport fights, too. It's being coined as a conflict resolution fight club. So my questions aren't specifically for street beef itself, but on the idea of conflict resolution. Can you get behind something that would take would-be gangbangers off the street, for example, and put the gloves on and take the guns away? That's one of the things, guns down, gloves up. Do you think that's a good thing to have in the area, or do you think it could be a liability? I mean,
again,
just personal.
Yeah, I don't know much. I don't know much about it. I don't follow it. I know I've seen and I've heard, and just, you know, speaking with you, and some, I don't know a whole lot about the street beef thing. But the only thing that if HPD said that it's, you know, the crime rate in the young youth, and if they can say that it's because of that, if they're, you know, if they can look at it and say statistically, this started in 2001. And since 2001, this has went down. If they can statistically say that's the case, then you can't argue with it. I mean, it's obviously working. I would just, anything that's not sanctioned, and, you know, as far as fight clubs and things of that nature, it's real, you just got to be careful. You got to be careful, especially in Virginia, as far as what's assault and what's not. Yeah, we do the street beef thing or whatever, we fight, and I don't like it that you hit me too hard, and they didn't stop it, and now I'm seeing double, and I'm going, I mean, there's so many things that can come out of it. I think someone had told me one time, I think you think about a waiver,
right,
you know, things that kind of, you can still, even though someone signs something like that, there's still attorneys out there that will take that on. Regardless if they signed it and said, and if the guy that got beat up said, you know what, I didn't read that completely. I didn't believe in that last part. But yeah, I signed it. You'll have attorneys out there that just want that money and that'll say, hey, let's fight this anyway. You just got to be careful. But again, I can't really speak a whole lot on that. I don't know anything about that. But if it's working and Harrisburg PD says, hey, this is, we've seen this and that's been taking place, then obviously something's good.
HPD officers, two of them that I know of, that I've actually heard, say that it's a good thing, but we can't condone it.
Yeah,
we can't get behind it officially because, you know, violence is never the answer kind of thing. And I think I can understand where that comes from. It's kind of like, well, I don't have a hammer to fix the problem, so I'm going to use this heavy pair of pliers to beat that nail down. You know, there's a right tool for the job. Is this the right tool? But the job is getting done. So that, I think the end result justifies the means, maybe. I mean, if we're not seeing guys going to jail anymore, we don't see guys getting injured. I mean, there are injuries in street beef. They're
right.
Very rare, but they happen. Like one guy broke his leg, another guy had a shoulder dislocated. Do you have this, I mean, it's contact sport, you're going to have a beef. But if we don't have guys shooting each other up, and, you know, I think I could get behind it, but then again, I'm not a law enforcement agency, so I know,
Well, you're looking at it from a different standpoint, too. You're looking at it from a morally, you see it, you know, hey, this is working, it works good, but law enforcement has to look at it from a legality of a standpoint of it. If it's, you know, like I said, if it's sanctioned, and the government and people, hey, boom, you're allowed to do this, you can do it this time, and it's all sanctioned, then that's something that absolutely the community can get behind. But when you're just putting gloves on somebody and throwing them in the backyard and just, and I don't know. Again, I don't even want to speak because I don't know. I hate to down or diss something that the community may feel that's working. But again, I can't as an officer say, hey, that's cool, go do it. Because I know the legalities of everything. I would rather not even, I don't know. I can't even comment. I don't know the text.
I mean, I was just wanted to gauge, you know, when I have a guest come on the show, I like to gauge where they're at. And everybody kind of agrees conflict resolution is a good thing. Now, how it's applied is up for debate. But I really wanted to tell you, I appreciate you doing this interview with me. I know it's been over an hour we've been talking. You've answered a lot of questions and given us a lot of good information. Now, depending upon whether we have decided to disclose your identity or not, I do want to say thank you. I won't say thank you by name right now because in case you went another way with this. But thank you very much for answering these questions. I know that some of these were a little bit aggressive. Kind of felt bad me asking them. But, you know, I wanted to get answers, and
sure.
You gave really good answers. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And just keep in mind, again, everything that I've told you or I've said today, I speak for no department. I speak for not any law enforcement in the area. I don't speak for anyone. I speak for myself, and I've known through years of experience. These are the things that what mean to me, and just through speaking with other officers, that's things that are on their mind also. But again, I don't speak for any department. I speak for myself, and that's what this whole thing is.
I think that's pretty important to make sure people understand that you're not representing any agency.
Right, just myself. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show, and I thank you so much for answering this question. Hopefully, we'll see an improvement, you know, with the way.
Hopefully, we'll.
All right, so tonight's show is being sponsored by Saks MySpace, and tonight is your chance to win your free MySpace, excuse me, your MySpot, Saks MySpot. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and ask the trivia question tonight. You got to dial this number right now, 516-453-9475. You have until 11:30 p.m. to dial in and answer the question. Tonight's question is, in what year was SpotaCop founded in? What year was SpotaCop founded in? Now, if you look hard enough on our website, I'm sure you can find that. Call in now. You have until 11:30 p.m. to call in. I'm going to announce the winner right after the after party break. I want to go ahead and take a moment to thank the officer who came on tonight and did this interview. This was a pre-recorded interview, and he's going to come back and he's going to take your questions live on the show. I'm going to shoot for next week. I got to get with him and make sure that his schedule works out. But if everything goes well, we'll be able to do that and see what you want to hear. I know in the studio chat room tonight, they kept asking me, let's see, Dylan says, ask him about Donald Smith and ask him about Felix Chewjoy. You can ask those questions and more next week when we have him here. I'll tell you when. I'll go ahead and make an announcement on SpotaCop when I verify which day he's going to be on. But I believe that's going to be next week, if at all possible. Okay, so one more time. Tonight's giveaway is going to be a free subscription for a year to SpotaCop MySpot. That's a free, fully functional website for a year. But you got to answer the trivia question. In what year was SpotaCop founded in? Dial the number 516-453-9475. Again, 516-453-9475. I almost forgot the telephone number. Okay, what year was SpotaCop founded in? Hey, you got 60 seconds to call, so we pick up info. Dial now, 516-453-9475. We're going to go ahead and pick a winner here when we come back from the break, if somebody calls in with the right answer. So if you think it's you, pick up that phone and dial. One more time, 516-453-9475.
We are the Bullet Resistance Dispute Tower, Lange Corporation of the Universe. We are checking to make sure that the Federation is not out there trying to stop us. SpotaCop on Facebook.
All right. So again, tonight's trivia question for the My Spock giveaway is, what year was Spotacop founded? And so far, no one's called in with the right answer. Pick up that phone, 516-453-9475. Got about a few more seconds to call in. Let's see if we can get a winner tonight. All right, we're going to go to break one more time.
We are the Blueprint Defense Institute Tower, Land Traversing the Universe. We are checking to make sure that the Federation is not out there trying to stop us. Spotacop on Facebook.
All right, so the deadline came and went, and no one got the answer correct. We're going to go ahead and give you the answer. Spotacop was founded in 2013, when we were riding down, it was Vine Street, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, and we came across this police checkpoint. Now, I got hit hard because I was driving a car with dead tags. Didn't know that, but my license was suspended on top of that, so that kind of sucked. I'm over here talking to my girlfriend, Jamie. Jamie, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
So, yeah, we're rolling down the road, and we hit this roadblock. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to go through it. So I pull off on a metal arc drive for a second, and I start thinking, man, am I cool? Is everything cool? You know, everything's good. So I pull out, and I go on through the checkpoint, and sure as shit, I got a suspended license and dead tags. Anyway, what got me was it was like all these cops. I mean, like, we're talking like 25 cops. I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating. Well, this little checkpoint right there by the sheets. You know what I'm saying? So I was pretty upset with that. I was like, you know, where are all the rest of the cops at who were supposed to be patrolling the rest of the city? They were all right here, you know, raking in that money. And that's how I viewed it. They were raking in money. But they said it was a DUI checkpoint. They were trying to crack down on drunk drivers. Now, that's a good thing, right?
Right.
Okay, so I go to court. Now, I got a lot of tickets. Like, you can imagine how many tickets I got, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I go to court. Girl, I kid you not. They're standing room only. I mean, you are rubbing elbows with everybody. And, of course, this one bailiff top chick, she comes out, and she's just raising hell, you know, about people keep their voices down. I mean, you got a stadium full of people basically cramming to the hall of the courthouse waiting their turn to go see how much money they got to pay. And it dawned on me, this shit isn't about, excuse my language, this isn't about, you know, DUI. This is about raking in that money. So I went home that night, and I made Spotacop. And it took off. Like, I had, like, 200 members. I think maybe by the 24 hours, I was at 500 members. And then it just kept rolling and rolling. So 2013, that was the year. And if somebody knew that and called in, they would get their my website for the whole year. You know who's getting my spot website?
No.
TJ. Remember TJ Demographics?
Yep.
You've got some work done down there, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
You like it?
Yes, I do.
What did he do?
Actually, I got a few things.
Oh, okay. Who got a tattoo?
My daughter.
Oh, well, that's who got a tattoo. Okay. All right. And she likes it. I'm in full, right?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. Well, you can check out TJ. Give him a call, 564-1671. That's 54 area code. He is his website. I'm working on it for him right now. You can check him out online. Go to Spotacop or spot-a-cop.com/TJ, and you can check out. Well, he's got going on so far, but that's still under construction. All right, we're going to go ahead and sign off here for the night. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank that officer who took the time to answer his questions. And I'm curious to hear what you had to say about that. So hop over to the open forum and drop your thoughts there in a comment, and I'll go ahead and respond to it. Thanks for chiming in on the studio chat room over there on the website. Remember, this show is available on demand. Just head on over to the website at any time for this and all our other episodes by navigating to radio.spot-a-cop.com. Have a good night, and thanks once again for tuning in. We'll see you next Sunday at 11 p.m. for another episode of SAC Radio Live. I'm your host, Jason Cuban. Good night.